Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Just a moment, and if you're a guest with us today, we just want to welcome you and hope that you make yourself feel at home and hope that we make you feel at home here. If you're joining us online, thank you for taking the time to do that as well. Even if you are online, you're still a part of this community, and wherever two or more are gathered in the name of Jesus, then He is here with us. And so we know that we have that here today and online. We're all about Jesus, and as we go through the worship service today, you'll notice we're very intentional about that. And when we worship, when we pray, even our announcements are about Jesus. And so that gets us to next Sunday. Just want you to know you're all invited to brunch. That's at 10:15 right here in this room. And so just come a little bit early to worship. You can eat while we worship, but you'll see a whole brunch is going to be set up on this side of the room. That is for us to celebrate in gratitude just the graciousness of God over us and how that overflows from us into the community. Next week is also just our last week of this this sermon series about gratitude and stewardship. Probably you saw in the mail this week, I didn't bring it up here with me, but you got a card in the mail, and we'll have some of those here as well. That's talking about our budget. And I know if you're a guest with us today, you're going, oh my gosh, we're going to talk about money. Not necessarily today, but we are going to offer those pledge cards next week, and we'll talk a little bit more about that next week, though. But prayerfully start considering where God's leading you as we go into 2024 and how we're going to do ministry together in that aspect. That we have things for children, adults, teenagers, students, non-students, whatever you want to call yourself in your age of maturity. Amen? Yeah. And on Sunday mornings and also on Sunday evenings today, starting at 5 o'clock. And so come and participate. Here's what I say about worship and then community. Worship is great, but if you really want to know and you really want to be plugged in, you really want to know who we are and what we are about, then you need to get plugged into community, because you're really not going to get it in here. This is all about Jesus, and then when we're out in the community, it's how we share Jesus in relationship with each other. So I invite you to be a part of that. Let's stand. I just want to pray over us as we continue in our attitude of worship. Lord God, just part of Scripture says, Lord, that when you created the heavens and the earth, you hovered over the waters. You hovered over the land. You hovered over the chaos and the restlessness. Lord, we know now that you don't just hover over us. Father, you live inside of us. And so today, I pray that that living water that is in us and flows through us, Lord, that it would come out of us today, Lord, in joy and thanksgiving, in the gratitude of our lives, our salvation, and the mercy that you've given us. Lord, let us just be joyful today. Lord, we want to fellowship with each other, but Father, we want to worship you with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Let us do it joyfully and graciously. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all the people shouted, amen.
Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet and sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flute. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Everything that has breath shall praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Lord, if I were guessing, because I know it about myself, it's probably something we're holding back. Well, I just pray that you would show us. You're not going to rip it out of our hands, even though sometimes I wish you would. But you're just wanting us to lay it down at your feet. It might be some doubt about who you are. It might be some problems in our marriages, our children, our finances. might be questioning about what in the world is going on in the world. Lord, with the wars, with just the famine, Father, with the droughts, Lord, this goes on and on and on. I don't know what it is, but Lord, we all have something that we're just not ready to let go of yet, and it might be that we're just unwilling to let go of it because we like the control. But Lord, when you have it, oh Lord, when you have it, there's so much peace and joy, at least on the inside of us, in the midst of the chaos. So Lord, just let us begin to give it to you. Let us begin to release it, maybe just one finger at a time, one hand at a time. Lord, it might be our health. I know there's all of us, in one way or another, either are or will struggle with some health issue. Lord, I just pray that you would bring healing into our congregation, Lord, into those that call upon your name. Lord, that you would bring healing into our relationships. Father, that you would just draw us closer together as a community of Christ, right here or online. Lord, you are with us. Lord, reveal yourself to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I mentioned it in the mail this week. You may have gotten one of these along with a narrative budget. And so this is for you to prayerfully consider this week. Hopefully, if you're in worship next week, you can bring this back after you've considered and what all you are going to do as far as your giving goes for 2024. A lot of people pledge, which helps us to, let's say that the Wolfingtons fill this out and we say we're going to give, let me just think inside of my head really quickly, we are going to give $7,500. And as you do that, and then we get these turned in, it comes back and it tells us how we can kind of plan our budget. And actually, when I say $7,500, that's not the real number. It's a higher number than that because that's just off of my salary and just all the different things of income that we have. But that's what we're looking for. That's how we do this, and not everybody pledges. Some people give regularly without filling out a card. That's fine, too. We look at what we call historical giving, and that's how we also plan our budget. But here's the other thing, is I'm going to tell you these numbers because I want you to know the reality. And again, if you're a guest, I don't apologize. I apologize that you have to hear ours. I don't apologize for talking about money. Jesus talked about it a lot. Amen. Yeah, some of you are like, he did? Yeah, a lot of us skip over those passages of scriptures, you know, like, yeah. Anyway, and so here's the reality of our congregation is when you think of, this is more than you really care to know, but this is things you have to know. I'm going to talk to the Woolivers right here for a second. They don't know this. The Woolivers are considered, even though there's four in their family, they are considered what I would call one giving unit. Right? I don't anticipate that Tori is going to give and Robert is not going to give. I anticipate they're all going to give together. Chaney, she may give a little bit of her own at some point, but anyway, they're all still considered the same. And so when we think of that, there are about, I've got it really narrowed down to about 172 giving units in our congregation right here, okay? Obviously, if you look around the room right now, we're not all here at the same time. That would be fantastic if that happened every week, but people travel, people take vacations, people sleep in, people get tired of hearing me, and so there's just that, all right? Okay, now here's the deal. Out of those 172, about 72 actually give to the church. I'll let y'all just do the math for a second. Okay, out of those 72, all right, split it straight down the middle. It was shocking to me, but straight down the middle. 32 of those, out of those 72, give in such a way that it makes up 90% of the budget. You say that again? Half of the givers make up 90% of the budget. Okay, and so here's what this helps us do. This helps us plan, and this helps you talk to God about how you give to Him. This is not about, I'm not sitting here saying, I'm not going to say to the Wolivers, hey, Robert and Tori, I would really like a new pickup next year. And so could you please give $20,000 more? Well, I don't need $20,000 for a bike. But not going to do that. And that's not what we worry about, okay? Really, all the time. Because listen to me, if we're literally operating on less than we need, okay, to run the place, that's all God, okay? That's how two campuses work together. But now listen, for us to operate as a congregation, then we all need to step up. Not because of the congregation or because of the church, but because of who God's called you to be as a Christian, and stop skimming over the places in your life where you don't want to listen to God. Now I'm just stepping on toes, amen? Yeah, I mean, this is just the way it is. It hurts. And so when we think about that, that's why we send these out, and that's why we try to explain how we do things. So take these cards this week. If you haven't gotten one, come see me. I don't put them out because y'all know that I don't talk about money all the time. In fact, rarely do we talk about money because I trust God and I trust you. But we do need some stepping up. Not the ones that are really already giving, those 32, but the other 140 of us, there needs to be some real prayerful consideration about this. Now then, here's what I know, and you're going to hear next week what I'm going to say now, is if you want to put God to the test, Scripture says there's really only one place you can actually put God to the test where He answers us, and that's with your finances. He says, put me to the test, and I will open up the windows of heaven and pour myself out upon you. I know 100%, without a doubt, that's the way it works. Because of the way our lives work in the Wolfington family, and it's not because I'm the pastor. Let me tell you, when I've not been faithful in giving, I have seen where it hurts. I have seen how it works. When we've been faithful in giving, I've seen how it doesn't hurt, and I've seen how it works. We can always do more with what less we have that we gave to God than we can do with all that I try to keep myself. Every time. I can do more with the 90% that God allows me to have than I can do with 100% that I argue with Him over to try to keep. Always and everywhere, every time. So that's all I'm going to say about it, because I know you get these in the mail and some people go, what is this and why is this? That's all it is. Next week, you'll be able to turn these in. Or really, you can turn them in anytime, but it's nice to have them by the end of November so we can do budgets. Let me pray over your finances. And let me say this also. You know, every week I say I want to pray over your finances. You don't have to raise your hand. You can if you want to. How many of you have seen an increase or a blessing in your finances in the last 2 or 3 years? Yeah. So here's what I want to say to that. And I'm saying it jokingly, but I'm also saying it seriously. See, you're reaping the benefit of God's blessing and the answer to prayer over your life. My question is, not for the church, and I so mean that, because you can go to another church, and I want you to do it there as well, okay? There's a visiting pastor from another church here in Texas, and I hope this happens with them too, okay? Is that we're reaping the benefits of God's blessings. Are we responding in gratitude to the gifts that we give back to Him? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Lord God, I want to hear from you from heaven. Father, not just in finances. Lord, you know my heart. And yes, I stress and I struggle over how it's going to go in the future. Lord, how our families in this room are going to make it and survive, how they're going to pay their bills, how we're going to do ministry, how we're going to retire, what the markets are doing and what the economy is doing, Lord. But while you know that part of my heart, you also know, Lord, that I just trust you. And Lord, that's why we don't beat the drum. Lord, that's why we don't just talk about it week after week after week after week. Lord, you are God and you are over it all. Lord, here's what we need. We need to hear from you. Lord, we just don't need you to pour out your blessings upon us, Lord. We need to hear from you, Lord, to how to be good stewards of what you do give us. What to do with just 10% of the 100% that you give us. Because it all comes from you. We all work hard, but yet it still all comes from you. Lord, I pray that you would show us. Lord, you would show us not only how to follow you and how to respond to you, but Lord, show us how you are blessing us. Lord, show us how you are providing for us. In all things, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And all the people said, amen. All right, so, everybody dust yourself off. You got the finance talk, you got the money talk, and it is important. But this idea of worship, it does deal with our money, but it deals with so much more, right? And so this month, we've been talking about gratitude being the core of our worship. And today, I want to talk about how gratitude can also be a defense in your spiritual life, okay? It really makes sense once we spell it out, and I'm not going to really follow all the slides today. I know y'all get tired of hearing this, but my iPad has disappeared again, so it's gone. It's absolutely gone. It's like a running joke around here. I'm going to put a tile on it from now on so I can find the thing. So the first one is, I just want to read from scriptures. I want to read out of Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. It says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf." Here's Paul writing. He said, "On your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea," that's a city, "and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom all are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body," Paul's not there, he's just writing him a letter, "nevertheless, I am with you in spirit." They're of one mind, "rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." See, understanding is not just merely knowledge. And that's what we have to really see what Paul is saying here. It just doesn't come from thinking. Understanding comes from gratitude, from us being thankful for what God has given us, the provisions over our life. And I talk about provisions a lot. A lot of people want to talk about blessings, and I'm great with that. But we don't always consider just making ends meet every month. We don't always consider that a blessing because it's hard and it's a struggle. And you've heard me talk about the times in life, this would never happen again, but where you could buy macaroni and cheese five for a dollar, and that's what I ate, right? Anybody remember five for a dollar anything? Yeah, I mean, there was a day, okay? Now it's $5 for one, but we won't talk about that. Is we don't always consider that a blessing, but it is provision. I had enough. We have enough, and when we're grateful, we have gratitude for having enough, then this idea starts changing in how it really brings a defense to our spiritual life. Gratitude, overflowing, not from understanding, because I don't understand why I always don't have everything that I want, right? I don't always understand why it doesn't work out the way I want it to work out. But I can understand that God came through. I can help you understand that God met your needs. I can help you understand that you have everything you need to make it through life in Christ. Again, that's provision. And that gratitude, here's what it does, is it brings protection. So, quick sermon illustration. I mean, it's going to go, this is going to be one of the quickest sermons you've ever heard me preach. I don't want to hear any commentary on that from the peanut gallery. Yeah, I knew somebody would say it. So, it really comes down to this idea of our heart. So, gratitude in your heart is way different than just gratitude and thanksgiving for what we would say are blessings in our life. And by the way, the provisions are a blessing. They are. When you have just enough, I mean, surely nobody would say to God now that the manna that was given to the free Israelite slaves, that was not a blessing. It kept them alive, right? That was a blessing. And so all these things in your life to have gratitude for, I want to look at Colossians 2, 7 through 8. We're going to back up a little bit. But it said, having firmly been rooted and now being built up in him. See, this being rooted is really how we are transplanted, how we are taken from our old life and into our new life. We know this. We know about getting a new heart. We know about being born again. We know about the renewal of our mind, the transformation of our bodies, the transformation of our mind. Because what we have is our old. We have our old heart, our old past, everything that's behind us, right? I don't know if you can see this or not, but I mean, it's chewed up, right? It's been through the ringer. It's got some holes in it. It's really not good for much. I mean, if you think about what it can and can't hold, it's not exactly how you would want to live life. But it's still there. And when you think about this old self, I mean, it leaks, right? I mean, it won't hold hardly anything that God pours out in my life. This is our old self. And what God says is in this idea of gratitude. Now think about it. Think about his graciousness over your life. Think about how grateful he is for who you are. Just the fact that he created you, the fact that he loves you and that he wants to have a relationship with you. He loved you so much that he gave us Jesus and he said, I'm going to give you a new heart. Right? A new heart that's complete, that is not chewed up, that doesn't have holes poked in it, that doesn't have all of the things that the world shoots at us and throws at us. We have this new heart, right? And so there's this gratitude that once we get this, we should be thankful. Thankful for who we are in Christ. Y'all hear me say all the time about the baptisms, and the reason we built the baptism where we did in those windows is because we change here on the inside while the world stays the same on the outside. We are different. We're not this anymore. This is the world, and this is us. And so when we have our grateful hearts, when we have this gratitude, it guards, it brings protection. He says, as you are established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See, here's the great thing, is that as God pours himself into us, he wants us to start overflowing into the world. That's the whole point of that, right? And as he keeps pouring into our lives, though, let me tell you what happens. This is where it gets hard and tricky, and this is where it gets hurtful. This is where we start depending on ourselves, because I can also tell you that Scripture says that there is an enemy around named Satan, and he prowls around like a roaring lion, and he's coming to seek, kill, and destroy. He's after our souls. And even though once you become a life in Christ, once you become born again, he can't get your soul, okay? But let me tell you what he can do. What does Ephesians say? To deflect with our shield of faith all the flaming arrows in our life, right? But this is what happens to us. See, we get this new heart, but we don't protect it. We don't guard it. We don't do what God calls us to do. We keep trying to live the same life and have one foot in Christ and one foot in the world. And he keeps shooting at us. And things keep hitting us, right? And we start leaking. And we get these holes. And what happens? We start looking like our old self again. And there's really no way to avoid this. Absolutely no way. Because we live in the world. We're not of the world, but we live in the world. But there's one thing we can do with this, and that's as we look at Scripture and we start hearing what God says to us and how He calls us to be more like Him, this gratitude starts guarding our souls and our hearts and our minds. Gosh, I wish I could go back over the last 22 years of teaching and preaching and culminate it in today, because really, just as I'm sitting here and thinking about it, you don't remember them, but I do. I can just think of all the different sermons, all the different topics about protecting our heart, our mind, and our souls, about loving God with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul, and how through stewardship, whether it's money or prayers or scripture or service or witness, it's in community. Man, it really is all coming down to this right here today. Every bit of it. Let's just go back to the mind monkeys. I know at least one person in here remembers mind monkeys. And just this is going to be part of it, because that's what starts happening. We don't guard ourselves and protect ourselves, and all these things start coming out. Let's look at another text, Romans 1:21. Paul really accuses those who have seen the evidences of God's power in their life, but they don't show gratitude. Romans 1:21, it says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Right? Poked holes in. Their foolish hearts. They knew God, but yet as they knew Him, the world kept creeping in. And they kept trying to rely on the world, and so their hearts were darkened, and they kept losing all the stuff that God was pouring into, right? See, that's what I'm trying to avoid with myself and all of you, day after day, week after week, year after year, is let's don't have foolish hearts. Let's have this knowledge and understanding. Let's have this Spirit-filled life where we call upon God, where we ask Him to show us where we can have gratitude in the midst of anything else, where we can be grateful. Because I pray over your finances, and I believe that God does bless those, but if you're not giving those to God, okay, I'm not asking you to start tithing this week. That would be great. I mean, that's what we're called to do. I'm just asking us to step up. Because when God's pouring all that out into our lives and we're not giving it back to Him, it just leaks into the world and then it's gone. It's not doing anything for anybody. And that's exactly what Paul is trying to warn us about. That's what Jesus tried to warn us about. And so gratitude as our defense, okay, gratitude as our defense happens in prayer, okay? Colossians 4:2. It says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving," an attitude of gratitude. We did that 2 weeks ago, right? With prayer and thanksgiving, defend yourself with an attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude. A gratitude as our defense in prayer, but also in relationships. Right here in this room and with each other. Not just us, but with all the people. Right? Anybody around us, Ephesians 5:4, it says, "There must be no filthiness," the NASB says, "silly talk," or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather have gratitude, right? So that's not talking down to people. That's not verbally beating people up. That's not making fun of people. That's not being, "I really don't like this one, and I've ripped it out of my Bible, and I've scratched it out." It talks about being sarcastic. Is anybody sarcastic besides me? Yeah, I mean, it just says, I mean, if you're doing that in a mean-hearted way, if you're doing that tears people down, that's not gratitude. Gratitude in relationship is more than that, and that's a whole other sermon series, but that's what Ephesians 5:4 tells us. And then gratitude is our defense in all circumstances. And you've heard this one. I mean, if you've been a Christian for 2 or 3 weeks, if you've looked at Pinterest or anywhere else, you've heard this: "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ." In everything, give thanks. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't always know how to do that, because I'm not thankful for everything. because I don't always understand why or how it's helping me, how it's going to benefit me later. And in our small group this morning, someone mentioned that because of a downsize in a company that they had, their job had been eliminated, so they were looking for a new job. And it's hard to be thankful for that. And so my prayer was, as they're going for an interview, Lord, show us all how to be thankful in the previous chapters of our life that build us and open us up and teach us for the next chapter and prepare us. Not thankful for losing our job, but we are thankful for what we learned and where we're going. Because, Lord, you're going to open the doors. You're going to show us. You're going to build us up. So gratitude is the core of worship. It really is our defense, because here's what happens, is when we take this right here, and if we're out in the world all on our own, and we're trying to defend ourselves, then we're just going to get beat up. More holes are going to get poked in this. It's just going to get worse. It's just going to get worse, and we're either going to look like we used to, or we're going to look worse than we used to. And so we take this attitude, this new attitude of gratitude, and we take this gratitude and we allow that to shield us and protect us from all the things that are going on in the world. And granted, it does, we still leak. We still have holes. We still have problems. The world doesn't stop, right? But as it keeps going and as it keeps flowing, right, as it keeps being filled and God keeps pouring himself out in us and through us and around us, I just want you to look and see what happens. We don't sink, right? Our heart doesn't fall. Our lives don't fall flat. What does it do? It builds us up and it holds us up. And then it just starts overflowing even more and more and more. See, this gratitude, this pouring of the Holy Spirit into our lives. I mean, I think it might be what Isaiah 41:10 said, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." I mean, come on. It doesn't matter how many holes get poked in this thing. It doesn't matter what you have to go through. It doesn't matter what life deals with you. It still holds you up. Spirit still builds you up. Right? Do not be dismayed. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you. Right? Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart may fail. Right? My flesh and my heart may fail. But the strength of God, that is my portion. That is my provision. That is what gratitude does in our lives. And it has taken me, I don't even know how long to get to this. Because this is not easy. Because we hear the world tell us. We hear the world gripe at us. We hear the world tear us down. And we hear the world say that it's really not worth it. It's not worth the time and the effort and the energy. And you should be mad and you should be bitter. We were in our prayer this morning, and one of the prayers was for all those who are angry and bitter and can't forgive. See, that's what the world tells us, is to hold a grudge and to get back. And God is saying, you just let me take care of all that. Let me keep pouring myself out into you, and you just rest in me. I know it's easier said than done. And I know it's simple, but it's not easy. But this is what God calls us to. And this is in every area of our life. You will be enriched in every way. 2 Corinthians 9:11. This is our verse for the month. 2 Corinthians 9:11. You will be enriched in every way. Okay, when you call upon the Lord and you follow him and you listen to him and not do everything, you're not going to get an A+ every time. You're not always going to make it. You're not always going to do it perfectly. You're not always going to get it right. You are going to fail. But when you're following him and you're listening to him, that you will be generous on every occasion, right? You're pouring yourself out into other people's lives. And this community, when it pours out from this and it goes into the world, it's generous and it helps others. And through your generosity, it will result in gratitude. See, not just for you, but for others. If you want to show people the love of Christ, if you want to show people the love of God, if you want to show people the mercy and the grace, show them the gratitude you have for your own life. Show them the gratitude you have for your faith. Show them the gratitude you have for your salvation. When somebody's griping and complaining, show them where they have reasons to be grateful. Not that those other places don't hurt. Don't ever belittle somebody or mitigate or minimize the hurt they're going through, but also show them the positive things. Show them the love and the grace of God in those things. Because when we do, it builds up the body of Christ. You know these people right here. You know the ones that feel like they're sunk. I know you do. And you may feel like you're underwater right now. Right? But all you have to do is allow the Holy Spirit. I know I'm going to call it. People are going to be mad at me. I do not like let go and let God. I don't like that Pinterest saying, don't put that on a coffee cup and don't you dare buy me a t-shirt. I will burn it. Because it's hard to let go and let God. Okay? But when we do, little by little, and for some reason it takes decades and generations. I've already picked on Chaney this morning. If Chaney could just learn that now, amen? 16, she could just learn that now. All us old people in the room would say, gosh, your life would be so much easier. See, let's don't be stuck underwater. Let's don't be stuck under. Let's rise up on the wings like eagles, as Scripture says, as the power of the Holy Spirit fills us and influences us and builds us up. When it happens, we're protected. Because here's the last thing. When you're surrounded by God's protection and gratitude, it doesn't matter where you are in this thing. Nothing can get to you. Right? Because God's got you. God's got you. And that's where I want you to be. That's my heart desire for our church and for the people around us. Father, let it be so. Let it be so. I'm tired of people drowning. I'm tired of people hurting. Tired of not being filled with joy and the perspective of the Holy Spirit looking out into the world going, there are great moments, there are great lives, there are great things happening. Look where the Lord is moving. Look where He is providing. It may not be celebrated. It may not be parades and banners waving. We might be crying over the situation, but Lord, You're moving, and I pray that You would show us. And Lord, as we give ourselves to You, Lord, show us where we need to open ourselves up. Certainly might be in our finances, but it might be in our ministry to volunteer. It might be in our ministry to teach. It might be in our ministry to administrate. It might be in our ministry to be a Christian parent. It might be in the ministry of being a Christian child or a teacher or a student or a neighbor. It all goes together hand in hand. We can't do one without the others. Lord, teach us how to stop cherry picking our lives in You. Let us have a life of gratitude for it all. In the name of Christ, all the people said with a joyful, with a resounding, with an agreement, amen. 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 How about a little thanks to God for these kids? Woo! Lord God, as we are in our weakness, hope full of holes, Lord, I like the text that Joe just sent me, that the more holes we have in our heart, the more avenues the Holy Spirit has to fill us because we're weakened. It is true that in our weakness, there is more strength of the Lord. And so, Father, I don't I certainly don't pray for circumstances that draw us into weakness, Father, but I do pray for the circumstances that reveal you in our lives, that make us receptive to you. Let us go from this place being receptive and open. Even when we have nothing or when we have everything, let us raise a hallelujah to you to show the world that we are full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Lord, full of the one true living God. And all the people said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.